Last week, I went to the car wash that's really close to here on Broad Street for the first time ever. Generally, my car wash is called The Rain. But the rain wasn't cutting it, so I relented. While I was waiting for my car in the waiting room, they announce over the loudspeaker which car is ready and where it can be collected. So I hear, for example, Maggie, your car is ready and it's on the side of the building. Your BMW is ready. Then I hear something like, Alan, your car is ready at the front of the building. Your Lexus is ready. And eventually they get to me. Hillary, your car is ready and it's on the side of the building. Your car is ready. So now I'm wondering, I'm thinking, why didn't they name the make of my car? After all, it is the awesome Honda Fit, and it is ready. So where's the cutoff for that? Which cars make that cutoff? I'm really curious. How much does a car need to cost or be valued by society before it gets named at the car wash? You know, I was new, so maybe they just didn't know my car that well, because you would have expected to hear, your awesome yellow Honda Fit is ready. By the way, soon after I got that car, people were asking me, what color is that? Because, you know, it's never just like red or blue or yellow. There's always something to go with it. And actually, I had no idea. This is how much I think about these things. So I had to go online and look up the official name of the color of my car, and I found out it's called Mystic Yellow. I thought, great. So this trip to the car wash happened as I was preparing to preach this sermon, even reading a commentary on the gospel in the waiting room. The last will be first, and the first will be last. The parable of the landowner and the laborers, in this, Jesus shocked people, and he shocks us still. Those who believe they know how the world works, and maybe actually how the world does work, but not how God wants it to work. But what we see, we're so used to it, so we think that's fair. You know, the first are first, the last are last, probably because they deserve that. In our world, there are still day laborers who stand outside early in the morning to be collected to work hard all day in fields and construction sites, in the sun and in the rain. Hard work, worth every penny they are paid, and no doubt worth a lot more than they are paid. Even those of us who do not work in a vineyard or a field or at a construction site, we would also be shocked, right? If somebody showed up at our place of work for just an hour toward the end of the day when we've worked all day and they get paid the same as we do. So this parable was meant to shock and shake people up and get them to think differently and also to think about who God really is. In the parable, we hear the laborers who worked all day complain, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. You have made them equal to us. This is the key. Now, Jesus is telling a parable about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the reign of God, and what it looks like. We have so many examples around us of what the kingdom of the world looks like. Our faith teaches us and encourages us to see with God's eyes, to look through that lens of faith as we look at our world, our society, the city of Richmond. Many people do judge us on the car we drive, or we judge ourselves. Many people do judge what we look like, what we're wearing, do we have the right house? You can fill in the blank. Sometimes when people have struggled and worked hard to acquire such things, they look down on those who do not have them. Sometimes people who do not have such things, as I was saying, feel bad about themselves. This is the way of the world. It's not the way of God. The laborers who worked all day complained, "You have made them equal to us." This is the heart of the matter. They are offended that the ones who were in the vineyard most recently are being treated as equal to them. Now, often, historically, this parable has been explained in the sense of actual heaven, that those who came later to the party, the Gentiles, also get into heaven, just like the Jews who've been there for a long time. But Jesus also spoke about real, on the ground in that moment, life, about money and about taxes and about welcoming all and expanding the circle, and called all to recognize the kingdom of God within them and all around. All around. Matters of wages and taxes were important concerns to the people of Jesus' day, just as they are to us. What does this parable have to tell us about immigration, about health care? Jesus, through his life, his actions, his stories, showed and taught that all people are equal. It doesn't matter when you showed up to the party. Jesus showed that God's love and generosity are so much bigger, so much more amazing than we can imagine. When God shows up, everyone is treated equally. Everyone is valued equally, no matter what the circumstances of their lives, of our lives, are. To those who've had all the advantages, God says, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Take what belongs to you. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you." We here are those who strive to walk in this way of God, in this way of Jesus. Yes, some people think this is all about heaven, but we know God is calling us to be about this sort of equality and welcoming and valuing of people here and now to make the world a more just place. We strive to walk in this way of Jesus. We are called to be about this kingdom of heaven, the reign of God, now. We make the reign of God visible when we speak and act in ways that affirm the dignity of every human being, that we are all equal in the sight of God. We desire our world to reflect this. So what can we do? A week ago Saturday, some of you marched from the Maggie Walker statue to the Lee statue to show your support, our support, for racial reconciliation and an end to racism and an end and a, let's just stop the white supremacy, the white supremacists. Yesterday, some of us were staffing the Holy Comforter table at Pride Fest on Browns Island. For decades, our church has supported the LGBT community. We were actually the first church in Richmond to go to Pride, which is amazing. We've been supporting Rosemy, what used to be Rosemy, now Side by Side, for years and years. Their first offices were here at Holy Comforter. And we continue, as it was mentioned in the announcements today, on the fourth Thursday, we prepare and deliver a meal to one of the side-by-side youth groups. On that same day, we prepare a meal for veterans who live at the veterans' shelter. Every year, we take part in World AIDS Day, which, in addition to supporting those with HIV and remembering those we've lost and promoting education, testing, prevention, we are also with people of all faiths in that project every year. And when God's people of all faiths come together to say everyone counts, everyone is important, I think God smiles. Don't you? I imagine that. Yeah. Yeah. Every year, right before Christmas, we host people through the Caritas program. It takes all of us, many of us certainly, to create a home, to create a welcoming space for those who are working so hard to get back on their feet, to have their own home. Today, actually next Sunday and the first Sunday of every month, as I mentioned earlier, we will offer food for our food pantry at the altar. And this is the last, this is so interesting, it's all come together, it's wonderful that Kim is here. Today is the last day of our ministry focus for September, which has been outreach. Everything I've been mentioning in this sermon and more are outreach projects and activities that we do to help make God's reign visible here in our community. There are also international projects that we support. There is still a display in our parish hall of this ministry of the month, and there are sign-up sheets. And so if some of this sounds good to you and you're thinking, I want to help make God's reign visible in a new way this year, you could sign up and we will be in touch with you. Sometimes people think, well, this church is going so well, they probably don't need any help. Okay, all of you who are doing a lot, we do, right? Yeah, we need some help. It'd be great to have you sign up. And it's exciting. This is the work of God. This is being God's hands and heart in the world. In addition to meeting immediate needs, as we do in many of the ways I've described through our food pantry, we also care and work to change the structures of society that divide us and do not respect the dignity of every human being. We march, we vote, we support agencies that advocate for social justice, which we believe the gospel demands. This is the good news for everyone. I am delighted that today our forum speaker following the service is Kim Bobo, the Executive Director of the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy. Kim will share how her organization, which is also our organization, because we've been a member and supporting for many, many years, Kim will share how the center advocates on behalf of all faiths. It's so wonderful. On behalf of all faiths, as one of their signs says, all faiths believe in justice. Highlighted on the first page of their website are issues they address: criminal justice, welcoming all, which includes immigration and things like that, wage justice, and health care. Every one of these issues and the issues within these issues can be better understood when we look at them through the lens of faith, when we consider the parable that we have today of the landowner and the laborers, how it speaks to these issues. Can we as a society be as loving and generous as God? Is that too much to imagine? What about asking, can we strive to be as loving and generous as God, as individuals and as a society? The reign of God can be hard to imagine actually happening. That's not the real world, people tell us. That's not where we live. That's not the real world. Yet it could be. It could be. As I was writing this sermon, I was remembering John Lennon's song, Imagine. Such a beautiful song. I always have loved that. I used to sing that to my little sister when she was a little baby. But you know, it says in there, imagine no religion. And why does it say that? It says that because we haven't done a great job, right? Over 2,000 years of always standing up for peace and justice actively in our world. I'd like to think if John Lennon could come here and hang out, he'd be like, okay, maybe we could imagine a little religion and it would still be a peaceful world, a better world when we're doing what God is calling us to do. And don't you feel good when you imagine having enough food for yourself, of course, but for everyone? That everyone would have enough food, good health care, a living wage, a safe place to live, good relations among people of all faiths. Just imagine that for a second, right now. Doesn't that feel good? And it does, because we've been created in God's image. Christ lives in us. We have been designed by God to strive for the good of all. The prayer that Jesus gave us, we pray for God's kingdom to come, not just for us, but for all people. And now, today, now is the right time to become the answer to our prayers. Amen.